This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
After a more than 50-year career in public health, Dr. Anthony Fauci is stepping away at the end of this month. Dr. Fauci joins us on WCBS. Good to talk with you again, Dr. Fauci. Thank you for coming on.
My pleasure. It's good to be with you.
You know, some people don't like that word retire. What is it that you're doing? Are you retiring, stepping aside, switching gears? What do you call it?
Well, it's more switching than it is retiring. It's not at all retiring in the classic sense of pulling back from working on the things that I've been working on for such a long period of time. It's stepping down from my 54 years of government service, 38 years of which I was director of the Institute, in order to pursue similar directions, but only outside of the venue of the federal government, devoted mostly towards lecturing and writing and hopefully trying to inspire some of the younger generation to get involved in science and medicine and public health, and even some people, if it's suited to them, to get involved in public service. So I'm going to relieve myself of the daily responsibilities of running a $6.4 billion institution that I've done for the last 38 years and focus more on the writing, lecturing, teaching component of it.
You know, you turn 82 years old on Christmas Eve. I think you'd be forgiven if you just wanted to say, that's it. I'm going to go to movies. I'm going to go to a ball game.
Well, you know, everybody has their own personality profile. Mine just happens to be, and I don't make excuses for it. I'm sort of kind of a constitutional workaholic. And although I hope to enjoy a few more things than I was able to enjoy under the frenetic pace of my 16-hour days over the last many years, to cut down on that a little and do some of the things that I was unable to do, particularly with my family. But I'm not going to, you know, be lying on a beach or playing golf, neither of which I do very well.
Dr. Fauci, where are we now with COVID? Is it still a pandemic?
Yeah, I mean, it is. But, you know, it means different things to different people. If you look at where we are now compared to where we were a year and a half ago, where we were having 800,000 cases a day and 4,000, 3,000 deaths per day, we're not anywhere near that. We're much, much lower, but we are not at a level with 300 deaths per day, sometimes 400 deaths per day. We're not at a level that I would consider comfortable with. We're still seeing an unacceptable number of people in this country dying who do not need to die because we have vaccines now that have just been shown by the CDC in their recent report, the updated COVID vaccine with the BA.4/5 bivalent clearly gives an advantage to prevent people from progressing to severe disease. We have good antivirals that people are not optimally utilizing. Many people who would benefit from these once they get infected are not utilizing them. So we're still in the middle of it. And as we get into the colder months of the late fall and the early winter, where people tend to congregate, particularly during the holiday season, we're already starting to see an uptick in cases throughout the country, including increase in hospitalization. And in some parts of the country, particularly on the West Coast, they're very concerned about the increase in number of cases. We're having a particularly bad flu season that is now superimposed upon the COVID. And again, we want people to get their flu vaccine because the flu vaccine is well matched to the circulating strain of flu that we're experiencing. But we're having the sharpest and earliest and worst flu season than we've had in about 10 years. So there are a lot of things going on. Fortunately, the RSV, the respiratory syncytial virus, which is particularly a problem for children less than 5 years old and the elderly, we had a very bad period of time with RSV, which appears to be turning the corner now. It's not over completely, but it appears to be turning the corner. Bottom line is we have a situation with respiratory illnesses that we have to pay attention to because it's going to cause some difficulty. And as I mentioned, we're still having 300 to 400 people a day dying from COVID.
Do you see a day, Dr. Fauci, when COVID will be eradicated, removed from our vocabulary, or will it always be around in some form?
Well, I doubt very seriously whether we're going to eradicate it. Eradicate it means there's no COVID anywhere in the world. We've only done that with one single virus in all the history of public health, and that was the eradication of smallpox, which occurred in 1980. That was because we had a virus that didn't change much and that the immunity associated with either vaccination or prior infection would last for decades, if not a lifetime. I don't even think we're going to eliminate it. And elimination means it's somewhere around the world, but it is not in our own country. We've done that successfully with measles and with polio. And again, that's because those viruses, they tend not to change or drift into different variants. And also the immunity associated with infection and or vaccination is a very long-lasting, durable immunity. When you look at COVID, we don't have any of those features. A, it does change. We know we've already experienced multiple variants. And we know that although the vaccines work very well in protecting you against severe disease, the durability of the protection wanes over a period of time. So I do believe that we will bring the level down to such a low level that it would no longer be disruptive of society, and it will take its place among the respiratory illnesses that we deal with in the winter months. We can be protected with updated vaccines for those people who decide, and I hope there's going to be a lot of people that do that, who decide they want to benefit themselves and their family by vaccinating, that we could get it at a low enough level that it is not dominating society the way it has over the last 3 years. But I doubt very seriously whether we'll eradicate or eliminate it.
As you look back at the country's COVID response, what worked and on what might you like to have a do-over?
Well, what worked was the scientific response, the preparation over decades of our investment in basic and clinical biomedical research, which allowed us to, in a unprecedented short period of time, go from the realization of a brand new virus in January of 2020 to have a vaccine go through extensive testing and available to go into people's arms that's a highly effective and safe vaccine in 11 months. That was beyond unprecedented. That normally, if this were 5 or 10 years ago, that process would have taken anywhere from 7 to 10 years. And it was done in less than a year, 11 months. So that went well. What did not go so well was the general public health response at the local level, where we did not have the infrastructure, the information available in real time to respond from a public health standpoint as effectively as we would have liked. Also, we have a situation which is really paradoxical, where we have a highly effective life-saving vaccine, and we only have 68% of the population has received the initial vaccination regimen. Only half of those have received a single boost. And a very, very disturbing, only 14% of the eligible population have received their updated booster shot that became available a few months ago. That is really almost inexplicable, that you have a vaccine that you know is saving people's lives, and we have such a very poor uptake of that vaccine. That's one of the things that falls under the category of the broad issues of public health responses that, in fact, has not gone very well and needs to do much better.
You have done your best to avoid partisan politics throughout the pandemic. As we look back, though, was our country's response to COVID at all hamstrung by President Trump's initial response?
I'm not going to get into pointing fingers at a particular individual or a particular administration, but it's very clear, if you look at the record, that things could have been done much better. For example, I think there was a considerable amount of misinformation and disinformation, such as the claim that certain drugs like hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin were miracle drugs that would be essentially preventing or curing COVID, and that is certainly not the case. And also the impression saying that the virus was going to disappear like magic was not true. And I think that really hampered an adequate response. So enough said about that.
In a career that has spanned everything from AIDS to COVID, did you ever expect to see public health become so politicized?
No, it's unfortunate because, you know, there's a profound degree of divisiveness in this country. Anybody who's even paying a little bit of attention knows that, the likes of which we haven't seen in my lifetime for sure. That divisiveness has spilled over into the public health arena, where decisions on the part of individuals seem to be influenced by their ideology, where a political party gets more people vaccinated than in another political party. That should never be. That is unacceptable, because a distortion of public health principles can lead to a loss of lives, and people not getting vaccinated or not wearing a mask because of ideological and political considerations can lead to a loss of life. And every life is precious, regardless of what your political ideology is. And it's really unfortunate that some people are unduly suffering and even dying because they're not letting themselves have the availability by choice of things like vaccines or masks.
Dr. Fauci, there was a point at which you and your family received threats. You needed security around you just to go for a walk. I wonder, is that still happening, or has that rhetoric cooled?
No, it's still happening. It's as bad as it's ever been. Again, I just think it reflects a lot of the misinformation and disinformation that has led to an anti-science theme among some people in this country, and that has led to hostility against people like myself. And yes, you're right, there are still threats, and I still have to have federal agents that are surrounding me and protecting me, which is really quite unfortunate that a public health official has to have that kind of protection when all we're doing is trying to save people's lives.
Dr. Fauci, our time together is limited, so I'll leave it with this. You're famously a Brooklyn guy. Did you ever get a chance
Indeed.
To get back to Brooklyn during the pandemic, talk to first responders? Will we see you around Brooklyn in the next chapter of your life?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I've been back to New York during the outbreak multiple times. I've actually spoken up in Harlem at the Abyssinian Church, and I am not going to stop going to the place that I was born because I love New York. Of course, I'll be back to New York.
Can we expect a book? Can we expect to see you on the lecture circuit?
Possibly. Right now, I'm still focusing on winding down here and moving on to the next chapter. But I think it's imperative that I will let my experience be shared by others by writing about it, perhaps in a memoir.
But for now, you have boxes to pack. Dr. Anthony Fauci, we thank you for taking a few minutes with us today.
Thank you. It's good to be with you. Thank you for having me.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more. With a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360, you can potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free and give now or over time by donating cash, publicly traded securities, or non-cash assets like real estate and crypto. With over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together, DAF Giving 360 can help you make a greater impact. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.